Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate that it is 5:03 PM and the Finance Committee is called to order. I am going to ask my colleagues on the committee if there's any objections to holding the minutes that we have in front of us. I, for one, would like to have more time to do my due diligence to go through all these. So I would make a motion to hold the minutes until the next meeting in August.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Any, so this would be inclusive of all of the minutes that we have. We have a motion, we have a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
Yes, if there's one clarification on the finance agenda too, if there is no objection to cleaning up a date reference at the bottom of the page, that there's a reference to January 5th, 2026. It should be July 6th of 2026.
And which one is that? Okay, it should be June.
So if there's no objection from the committee, you can approve by unanimous consent the correction of that date reference.
Okay, so the request is on PCR 75-26. It says, refer to separate docket consent calendar bids for January 5th, 2026. It should actually be June 5th, 2026. Any objections to the correction?
None.
Hearing none, we will move on. Okay, first item, bid number one, 2027-074, found on page one, purchase various police vehicles. Major Hart?
Good evening, Councilman Robert Hart for the Police Department. The Police Department is requesting to use a 5610 MPA to purchase various Ford and Chevrolet police vehicles. These vehicles will be purchased from three vendors: McGovern MHQ of Marlboro, Mass., Colonial Motor Group of Plymouth, Mass., and ITS of Warren, Rhode Island. All pricing is under the Greater Boston Police Consortium Master Price Agreement and Cooperative Bid. These vehicles will be assigned to various portions of the fleet, including supervisors, admin, patrol, traffic, and investigations. The total pricing for 16 vehicles is $1,072,838.52, and this includes upfitting and equipment installation. If approved, they'll be funded through the city lease purchase funds, budget code 4990449, and this is part of the fiscal year 27 police capital budget, which includes $1.1 million for vehicles.
Thank you, Major, and thank you for addressing the questions that I had asked regarding this bid. So one of the questions I asked you was how many vehicles have been bought since 2022? And in 2022, we had a total, excuse me, if you could take your conversations outside, please. Thank you. In 2022, the city purchased 14. 2023 was 16. 2024 was 15. 2025, 18. 2026, 18. And proposed for 2027 is 17, for a total of 98 vehicles in 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On these vehicles that you're proposing to purchase, what else is going to be required in terms of cost or expenses? And Major, I'm asking this because it seems as though, particularly in the past year, the city council is being presented with things to approve and dollars appropriated. And then a short time later, we have more additions and other extras and more change orders. And as a matter of fact, we have some of that this evening. So one of the things that I'm going to be asking going forward is what other items, in this case, these vehicles, are going to be required, such as lettering, tinting windows or anything else for that matter.
So these vehicles come from the upfitter, fully equipped, ready to go. The only thing we have to install is we will reuse different radios that we have. We'll install our tablets in there, our mounting brackets. If we did need another mounting bracket or a tablet, we already have bids in place for that, for all those items. So these come ready to go, pretty much turnkey.
And do you have any idea as to what that number is going to be for 16 vehicles?
What number, sir?
The additional items that you just mentioned.
Offhand, no, but again, it should be almost nothing because we're reusing most things and have most things in stock. It would just be one-offs that maybe one's broken or something doesn't fit right, but it should be minimal at most.
And all the lettering is all done on these vehicles?
Yes, it is.
Just the logos, et cetera?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the tinting of the windows as well?
It is.
Okay. So, as I'm sure you remember and expect, I do have issues with this. As you recall from the budget hearings, I
Councilman, your microphone's not working.
Sir, I expressed my feelings regarding $1 million worth of vehicles again. As a matter of fact, I had proposed an amendment to that to reduce it in half, and that didn't get done. So tell me why aren't we purchasing 14 vehicles, and I'm excluding the last two vehicles, which are $37,000 apiece. Why aren't you looking to buy all 14 vehicles at the $57,800 price? Why is it that we have to have two Explorer utilities for traffic for $75,000, and particularly two Chevy Tahoe supervisor vehicles, which are ginormous, for $88,000? Why can't the city just make do with 14 Ford Explorers?
Sure, good question. So these vehicles serve in different roles. Now, traffic vehicles carry more equipment. They have storage in back for accident reconstruction equipment. They have more lighting because they're up on the highway more often. They're doing large funeral escorts, VIP escorts, whatever. So there's a different cost for that Explorer compared to a patrol Explorer. Now, the Tahoes that we're buying carry even more equipment. We do have a Tahoe already, and that vehicle has proven to be one of the best vehicles we have in the fleet. We especially found that out during the last very large snowstorm that we had. But what we're also seeing is we have an effort to make patrol sergeants, the ones driving these vehicles, when they get on scene, to take control of a situation. And they do that by opening the back tailgate of their vehicle, and a couple people huddle around, and they have a whiteboard, they have a laptop, they have whatever. The Explorers are too small. They found it that it's too small, that you could fit maybe two people under the tailgate of a car while it's snowing or raining out, and then it's no good. And the amount of equipment that's going in there, whether it be, you know, the laptops, the extra radios, emergency medical equipment, breaching equipment, whatever it may be, just isn't fitting in the Explorers. So we want to add a few more of these so we have some more room. And we also have that capability for these sergeants to be incident commanders and run a scene with the appropriate equipment.
And if I, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember when we did a tour of the lot and the vehicles that you maintain a fleet of about 50 vehicles, these type of vehicles?
So for patrol vehicles alone, just for patrol officers, it's about 33 or so. And about seven supervisor vehicles, I think nine traffic vehicles or so. So we have a varying fleet.
About 50.
Sure.
And I also seem to recall that the long-range plan was to rotate vehicles about every 5 years.
Correct. 5 to 6 years is what we're seeing. In fact, some of our oldest vehicles have been here about 13 years.
So in 6 years, we're replacing 98 vehicles. That seems to be a much faster rotation than every 5 or 6 years.
So you're just,
are we,
go ahead.
Is the city taking into consideration that today the COVID money or OPERA money, but I added that up in 23, 24, and 25, it totals $2,648,271 of APRA money. Out of the $6,130,143 that with the vehicles you're looking to purchase now come up to. So aren't we heavy with vehicles in terms of replacing vehicles? It certainly is a much larger return or rotation than every 5 or 6 years. And this was the thing that I had questioned at the budget hearings. Is it necessary? Again, my position is there's a big difference between wanting and needing. And is it necessary that this replacement schedule has to be accelerated to what it is today?
So the short answer is no, it's not exorbitant. And yes, this is a good way that we replace vehicles. So historically, I went through even further than you had requested and looked at our purchases over the years. And I wasn't able to get dollar figures on all those because some of those purchase orders I just couldn't find. But since 2010, on average, we've purchased 16 vehicles every single year for the past 16 years, almost 17 years. So that has always been the history of the department. Is our replacement plan is on average 16 years. Now, some years it's 19, some years it's 12, whatever, but it's roughly 16 vehicles per year. You also have to take into account that, yes, we're buying these cars. We're also decommissioning cars. We're selling cars on GovDeals, but we're also losing cars in crashes. We're losing cars through mechanical. So it's not just like the vehicle's just aging out. We do have to replace things.
Okay. I still haven't changed my position on the accelerated replacement or the need now to purchase another $1 million of vehicles, particularly where we're looking at over the last 6 years, you've purchased almost 100 vehicles. I remember 1 year, I believe it was 7 that was purchased. And that's not to say that that was the best thing, but it was necessary at the time because you can only stretch the checkbook so far. And that's my concern. I think the checkbook has been stretched to the max, not just with the police department, but with all the departments, to be quite honest with you. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to questions to my colleagues. But in the meantime, I want to assign a PCR number to this, please. 7626. Thank you. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Chairman. Major, as far as the purchase, is this a lease purchase or is this a full-out purchase?
This is part of our lease purchase for the capital plan.
Okay. The lease purchase, does that include a 5-year lease purchase?
I thought it was a 6-year, but I could be wrong on that. So don't hold me to the 6, but I think it's 6.
Okay. Is that the total cost that you're asking for covers the full time plus the purchase at the end?
I believe so. That's how it was always explained to me, that it is the entire thing is the lease purchase at the end for about 6 years.
Yep. Can we get someone on the record from finance just to clarify that, please? Hello.
Hi, Lynn Proger.
So the question, Lynn, is on a lease purchase for these cars, we're assuming it's 6 years. Could you confirm if it's 6 years? And during that 6 years, the amount we're authorizing tonight is the total cost for that lease purchase plus the final purchase price?
For the lease purchase, we have to go out to bid to do that lease purchase. At that time, I'll present to you multiple years to repay that. And at that time, I can give you an estimate for what the interest on it might be. I don't know that off the cuff.
So the interest charge will be above and beyond what we authorized tonight?
Yeah, there will be interest to repay for this.
Okay. When do we receive that information?
The plan is to get all the final numbers for the lease purchase for the year and then go out to bid for it. A number of things haven't come through yet. So before going out to bid for the debt, I have the attitude that we should probably receive the items first. And that's how we've been doing it in years past. So you approve the purchase of this or not for tonight. That will be added to the lease summary that I will present. I will get an RFP for the financing on it. And then I'll bring it to council with the repayment options on it. Historically, we've been doing about 5 years. Sometimes we do 6 years. We even did 10 years that I recall. And who knows what the interest rate would be.
So the cost of that interest, what account does that come out of?
I didn't bring my budget tonight, but it's actually under the debt section. You'll see there's a debt payment schedule in there that includes lease purchase with the year listed.
Okay. Thank you. Look forward to seeing that.
Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 2, 2027.
Councilman, you need to take a vote on that because
you gave it a
PCR number.
Okay, we need a motion on PCR 76-26.
I move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
No? Councilman Mueller?
No.
Okay.
So per the rules in a tie vote, the matter will proceed to the floor with no recommendation.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Item number 2, 2027-069, purchase 2026 Mack side loader vehicle found on page 26.
Eric Earls, Public Works. The Department of Public Works is requesting to purchase one 2026 Mack side-loading sanitation vehicle from Sanitary Equipment. The request is one of the items in the fiscal year 2027 capital budget that was approved by City Council. In the capital budget, we had $450,000. This vehicle comes in at $429,030, and that represents $20,970 less than we had anticipated. And this vehicle will be replacing RS67, which is a 2014 Peterbilt with 170,000 miles on it.
Director, that 2014 vehicle, will you be keeping that vehicle to use as a backup, or
that one will probably use as parts? That one, it's down pretty hard right now, so it'll probably end up functioning as more of a parts vehicle than as a backup.
Okay. While I'm thinking of it too, I want to thank all of the department heads, actually, at least in this binder, for reminding us that these items, such as yours, were appropriated in the capital budget, which was approved by the City Council. As you probably voted no on that budget, too. So some of the questions I have is this quote that was provided to the department. The quote from the vendor is actually dated January 28, 2025, and that pretty much is consistent with all of their breakdowns. The quote that was sent to the city is dated on June 2nd, 2026, which is, I think, somewhere around a week and a half after the budget was approved, maybe 2 weeks after the budget was approved. So, did the department get this price for this vehicle prior to the budget, or is it just a coincidence that this number of $429,030 was provided to the department after we approved the budget?
We got this number after the budget was approved.
So about 2 weeks after the budget was approved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That explanation is accepted. But here again is, you've heard me say, I say you, I'm generalizing many times over the years. It's not always, it doesn't really blow me away all the time when someone says, well, we came in, you know, X dollars and cents under budget. Because when I look at the big picture and the entire budget, that also suggests to me that the taxpayers were overtaxed. I'm not disputing that this vehicle is necessary. I support the purchase of this vehicle. I mean, I think we all agree that the sanitation vehicles are absolutely a necessity. But those were the things that I needed to get clear in my mind, was the quote date, the published date, and the date that the department was this is the only notice that the department received, was the date quote on June 2nd. That was the only price notice that you got?
No, I don't believe so. I believe that we heard that these vehicles may be available. And then once we were aware of the budget situation, then we asked them to solidify that number.
Okay. So the department did know ahead of time that this vehicle was going to come in at about $20,000 less than what was in the budget, or what was put in the budget.
I don't know about that timing, because obviously we submit the budget and that estimate, well, you know, we're sending those numbers to the mayor in what?
Sure.
April. So,
but I'm going by when it comes to us for a vote. That's when everything is kind of like finalized on the administration's end, and it ends up coming into our lap. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 3, 2025-237. Pre-engineered metal buildings, found on page 52. Go ahead, Major.
Councilman Robert Hart for the police department. The department is requesting to use a 612 alteration to bid to increase the spending authority for bid 2025-237 to Tower Construction for the WPD warehouse project. The department is not seeking any funds for this request. We're seeking to correct the initial spending authority to request to include the contingency amount of $197,000 that was budgeted for but omitted from the original request. This would continue to be funded through our ARPA budget, code 5105030.
Major, who was responsible for the design of this building in total, inclusive of everything? Who was responsible for that?
It would be, I believe, Castle Boost was the architect in conjunction with the construction company Tower Construction as the primary people involved in this.
And does either of those two entities have error and omissions coverage?
I am not aware of that.
You're not aware of it?
I'm not aware. I have no knowledge of that. I can't answer that question.
This is one of those bids that just really concern me. We have 14 change orders, and I know via email we communicated about the numbers not lining up and not matching. In your report, it says the police department is requesting a 612 alteration to bid to finalize the funding. Why is it worded that way, to finalize the funding?
The project is complete and we need to take care of the last bills that are due for the project.
So these things that, these change orders, they've already been approved, they've already been completed, and now the administration is coming to the city council to approve those expenditures.
That would be correct.
Is that how things normally work?
As you can tell, no. We try to make sure that things are on time and timely and that you have the correct information. Part of our funding was grant contingent, and we had to make sure that money was in the grant and accounted for, or else we would lose it. And I think, honestly, this got lost in the shuffle.
And this may be a question for the chief of staff, or it could be for finance, or perhaps you may know, Major. Is it accurate to say that the opera monies had to be spent by December 31st, 2024, or appropriated?
Encumbered, appropriated.
Okay. And this $197,000 couldn't have been appropriated as of December 31st, 2024.
So this opera funds that the major is talking about is a grant that the city received, the $1 million grant. It's a pass-through opera funds. It's not the opera funds the city of Warwick received. So these are pass-through opera funds that the city of Warwick Police Department received from another source. Sure. I'm not sure, Department of Justice or someone. Those funds, I believe, are under the same restriction. I mean, maybe the Lynn Project can answer that, but I don't know. But these are not our funds that were under the December 24 commitment date, expenditure of December 2026. Those are the city opera funds. These are the grant opera mm-hmm. funds, completely different funds.
Okay, so those grant opera funds, if they weren't used to pay off these change orders,
they can't be used for anything else.
They could not be used for anything else.
No, it's
else.
$1 million grant for this project. When the major and the police department came for spending authority, they inadvertently left off the $197,000, I believe that's the number, of contingency that should have been included in the spending authority request. So we're still using the grant. That's the amount of money that's left in the grant. So if we don't take this grant money, approve it, then that $197,000 goes away.
Chief, that's only part of it. What is so frustrating is that these 14 change orders were not included in the original estimate or the original proposal for this building, that we have a designer and we have engineers that put this together, and one of the things is paving. How could you miss paving for $98,000 to repave the parking lot? How could that be missed? Cameras added to put into this building. There's a list of 14 items here, which I think are just absolutely bizarre. That's why I asked about errors and omissions. How is it that these people who are designing buildings don't know about a duct heater? How about that? How do they not know about a stainless steel fasteners for roof curbs? How is it they don't know that? But then it's so easy to come back to the city and say, hey, listen, sorry, we need to do this change order because we didn't include stainless steel fasteners. And this list just goes on and on. This is like absolutely bizarre to me. A grinder power, a grinder pump power.
Your microphone's not working.
What's that?
We couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry.
Your microphone.
How could they not know it? Door sweeps? Really? Door sweeps. A bump out. Really? Surge protectors. This is like bizarre that we're paying these people, whoever they are, serious monies to design these buildings, to engineer these buildings. We approve it, the city council, we approve it with a comfort level that it's going to be completed with what is expected or what is supposed to have. Thank you. And then we turn around and we get whacked with $197,000 of changes. So it's not just about, well, this is a grant money and, you know, this is what you got to use it for. This is about how did this happen in the first place? How is it these professionals don't know about a sewer manhole? I don't know. You got me. Grinder pump. You don't know that? Okay. Lawn maintenance. We got a credit for $2,000 for lawn maintenance. I don't know what that's all about. $23,000, $24,000 for camera pots. How is it that these items were not included in the original proposal to us? Things that are very obvious, but yet now they come to us as change orders that were already not only approved, but were completed. So what happens if we say, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. These things should have been included in the first place. We're not going to approve this. Now what happens?
I'm not an attorney. I could just imagine as a contractor yourself.
Sure.
You know, you would probably sue the city.
And we're put in this position because of these things that are done after the fact. So we are put, the city is put in a position, and now we're put in a position that, okay, if you don't approve it, we're probably going to get sued. Okay.
So again, when this was originally approved, as a contractor, there are sometimes, and I've done it in projects, you have a contingency amount, a contingency fund to cover unforeseen or unknown or things like that, change orders. You know, this $197,000, there was no contingency included in the spending authority request. So that's part of the problem is when the original request was, it was for the original bid amount without any kind of contingency. There's always a change order or a unforeseen. I can't speak to all of those. Some of those items were additional adds that, you know, to spend down the grant. You know, they weren't true change orders that we requested in the bid. They were to spend down the grant. So,
and as I understand it, those type of things were not part of these change orders.
I'm not sure about that because the paving was not included in the original award.
Again,
I understand your frustration, Councilman.
It's just bizarre that it would be like, okay, come put a roof on my house. Okay, great. It's going to cost you 10 grand to put the roof on the house. And we get there and we say, sorry, Mr. Vicente. I forgot to include the ice and water. I forgot to include the nails. And we just forgot about the dumpster. So we're gonna catch you for another 5 grand. These type of things that to me are very obvious, and I'm not into building metal buildings. I'm not trying to portray that I am, but I do know that some of these items that you're talking about, anyone who is designing these buildings, an engineer, the contractors, whoever participated in providing this to the city, how can you not know about these items? A duct heater, grinder pumps, et cetera. This is like bizarre. So don't worry about it. We're just gonna put in the change orders. They're gonna pay for it because they have to. And if they don't, We're going to sue them. Maybe you know, Chief, were there any errors and omissions in from these two contractors?
I don't believe any of those items rose to the level of negligence or errors and omissions charged to the insurance. Architects and engineers are required by law to carry errors and omissions insurance. And I don't believe any of those items were error or an omission. Not you can go through that. You can go through that bid. I don't know what rose to the level of an error as an omission. You know, so I don't believe any of those items were. Some of them were ad alternates. Some of them were add-ons afterwards when we found out the amount of the money we were getting. You know, so just you can say mentions things off the top of your head or off the sheet. I can't say whether they're covered by errors and omissions or not.
Did anyone bother to check on that?
I don't believe so, because there's no reason to doubt that the items were necessary and needed. And you brought the example of a roof. What happens when you go to a roof and you take off the shingles and the underlayment on the underside of the shingles is all delaminated?
Ah, great question.
Right.
And the answer to that question is it's included in the contract. And
right.
In the contract, it says, when we remove shingles, if the underlayment is rotted or if there's space decking, we're going to have to install X sheets of plywood at X amount of dollars and cents. That you know up front. These are not things
right,
that
but
we
who
know
pays
up front.
For that? The customer.
Me, Chief, that is something that is known up front. This is not known up front.
But the
this
customer pays that cost.
It's what, please?
If you put in the per square or per sheet of plywood as needed, at $50 or $75 a sheet for roof sheathing, the customer pays that cost if you need to replace 10 sheets of plywood. That's a change order. If you didn't see it from underneath.
I know what a change order is. And whether it's by the square foot or whether it's in number in totality, the point is the homeowner knows up front that there is a possibility. Did any one of these things, were any one of these things presented to the city and said, oh, you may need a sewer manhole, and if you do, it's going to be this. Oh, by the way, we got these stainless steel, we got to put stainless steel fasteners on the roof curbs because we thought we could do with galvanized or plastic or whatever they were going to use. Big difference in what you're saying and what I'm saying. There's a big difference there.
Councilman, you have 2 minutes.
What I'm saying is, these things just become more and more frustrating to me all the time because it's taxpayer dollars that have to complete or pay for this. One way or another, it's either city taxpayers or federal taxpayers. You know, we all pay income tax too, right? So this money isn't freebies. But that's my frustration level with it. I don't think that this type of thing should be condoned. And I don't think it's something that should continue in the future. I think these contractors that are dealing with the city of Warwick, their feet need to be held to the fire. They need to be held accountable, and they need to be held responsible for the pricing that they're telling us. Now, if there's some unforeseen thing that turns up, then fine, we understand. But not things that already should be there. So I'm going to ask for PCR on this as well. PCR 7726. Thank
you. PCR 7726.
Thank you. Any comments, questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Chairman. Major, I'll have to agree with a lot of what the chairman said. It is extremely frustrating. And over the last year and a half, we have been put into many situations of a bad decision or a worse decision. This is one of those times because we frankly have no choice. That's a terrible place to be in. As far as total expenditures, we're at $1 million from the grant. We knew what we were getting. So the question by the chief saying we didn't know what we were getting is false. We knew we were getting $1 million. A change order of nearly 20%. Chief, I know you're shaking your head no, but we were clear that this was a $1 million grant. Am I correct?
We did get a grant. The grant, I believe, came after the initial allocation of ARPA money for this. Very close proximity, but after.
So, Bill Facenti, Councilman. So we did not know we were going to get the full $1 million. That is what I said. We weren't sure what we were getting. So we put in and had it awarded just in case we didn't get it or we did get it. Yeah. We were lucky, we got $1 million. That's why we're asking to fulfill and spend the full $1 million.
So let me just make this, get a clear understanding. So when you came to the council, what was the original spending authority?
The original spending authority was granted at $2,676,000.
Okay. All right. So either way, so how long have we known about these change orders?
I'm not sure the dates on the change orders. Well, I'm not sure of when the change orders reached the level where it would exceed the spending cap.
So let me just pick one item out here and it'll fill in this question. So number 8, bump out. It's about $54,000 expenditure. When did that bump out get designed and constructed?
I'm sorry, you said number 8?
Yep.
That change order is showing 12/18/25.
So we knew we had a change order of $55,000. Here we are in July of 2026 asking to spend something that you've already spent.
Correct.
So these are the frustrations as a council. You know, we hear it all the time. You know, how can we have trust in our government if we're just going out spending and cleaning up the paperwork afterwards? So again, this is, it's just a symptom of a much larger cancer within the city as far as process procedures and doing the right thing, being transparent. And this is truly not a transparent effort. And again, we as a council are stuck with making a decision that's bad to worse. And you leave, again, the city and the city administration leaves us with, frankly, no choice. And, you know, that impacts the credibility of this council. It also erodes the trust that we have in our residents within the city. So that's all I have to say right now. But
Councilman, just to clarify, there is no intent by anyone to not be transparent. I believe this was an oversight. No one's trying to hide anything from you.
Transparency has many different meanings. It's, you know, back in December, we knew we had to spend $55,000. That's no small change. We just increased our spending authority for small purchases from $25,000 to $5,000, and it literally took an act of the residents to vote on that. And here we are as a city just spending $55,000 without even a blink of an eye. It's the actions. So we need to take a step back as a city, as department, saying, look, we have to follow rules. And the rules are, if it's over $5,000, we need to go to the council for it. Okay? So it's not just you. There are many examples throughout the city, which will be coming out in the next few weeks. However, we really want more transparency, more proactive transparency, and not wait 6-7 months out of one major decision. That's what I mean by transparency. Coming through saying, hey, it was a mess up. You know, the bump out. What was the reason for the bump out?
Fitting equipment in the design where vehicles are parking, the firewall had to be moved a little bit and the bump out had to be created. And to your point, I believe that this $55,000 was not the catalyst, was just at some point along the line, something triggered, hey, oops, we're over the spending authority. I don't know if it was this item or not. It could have been a smaller $2,000 or $1,800 item that, uh-oh, we're over the spending authority.
And when we're trusted with tax dollars, uh-ohs, doesn't build a lot of confidence. So we really want to eliminate those uh-ohs. And again, mistakes happen, overruns happen. Let's have the communication. Let's keep the communication going. Let's not wait 6 months from something so obvious.
That's why we're here tonight in front of you.
6 months later. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I just want to follow up on something else. Okay, thank you. If I run to the minute, we'll ask for an extension. On page 6, it says, corrected. On page 60, it says PR number 04, repaving of existing parking lot as per Tower Construction Corporation's change proposal number 3. I don't know what those two differences are, but what I do want to know is why this wasn't signed by the contractor. All the other change orders are signed by the contractor, and this one was not. So that's question one, and I know I'm running on time. The oversight, as I see it, was in the contingency of $197,000 not being appropriated. That was an oversight. These change orders are not oversight, especially when they started to occur in July of 2025, a year ago. So we racked up all of these change orders for the past year, and it's just coming to us now for approval. So let me go back. Why was
Chair,
it that?
You need to ask for extension.
I request an extra 3 minutes.
Second.
No, we have a motion, so moved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you for that, Councilman. So what's the difference between a PR number 04 and a change proposal number 3?
So as we had talked about in the...
I'm done.
In the email, a proposed resolution, proposed whatever, is the city, the contractor, talking about an idea. A change order is executing an idea. So I don't know what their internal numbering is. I don't know why they do number 4, number 10, number whatever, but the change order is the actual action that's happened.
And Major, let me be clear. This conversation that I'm having with you isn't directed to you, mm-hmm. because this occurred prior to you arriving.
Understood.
But this is a culture, and it's a culture that it's just like out of control with just, we're going to change order. No problem. We're going to pay it. So it's not directed to you. So don't misunderstand me. So why wasn't this document signed by the contractor, number 2? And thirdly, what is this paving this parking lot? Was this just like an afterthought? And, we got some extra money here, so let's repave the parking lot.
I don't know why it was not signed by the contractor. As you indicated, the other ones were. I don't know if this is the wrong copy or if it doesn't wasn't signed or
item.
Understood. I don't know why it wasn't signed. This is the packet that I was handed, and I'm not sure why it's not signed. As for paving, I don't know what the initial plan was, whether the paving wasn't initially part of this, if only a portion of it was, but I do know the entire lot around that building has been repaved, which it needed. So that's what this money did cover.
So this would probably be a question, I guess, for the legal department, but because this was not signed by the contractor, does that mean that this change order was not accepted by the contractor?
That's, as you said, a question for the legal department. And again, I don't know if this is the correct copy. Maybe there's a copy that has all 3. This is just the one that's in the packet.
Chief, let me present that question to you. So on change proposal number 3, this was not signed by the contractor. Why wasn't it signed by the contractor? And does that mean that this is not a binding agreement? Because obviously the contractor didn't sign it.
Just as a point of order, in addition to your concerns, change order number 1 also wasn't signed by the contractor, nor was it signed by the...
It's what?
That one wasn't signed by the contractor, nor was it signed by the chief. So the city doesn't have a countersignature on number 1 either.
On which one are you talking about?
Found on page 60, change order number 1.
Change order number 1?
So there's a couple of signature issues on several of these documents.
Yeah, I see the same.
Okay, so...
Again, I'm not an attorney, but we've accepted this change order. So it's been accepted at that price, and the contract is obligated to hold that price. I'm not an attorney whether that would be a violation or a contract wouldn't be valid in court since we accepted it, even though he may not have signed it.
And no one questions it either, right?
Yeah, Councilman, I wasn't the clerk of the works on this project, so I can't answer that. But I know the change orders are based on the AIA pay recs, and those are signed and certified by the contractor or the architect and engineer. Those are how they get paid. So this instrument does not generate a check. It's a change order that's attached to a payment rec, an AIA form. That's how they get paid. So nothing is paid based on this document. It's based on an actual AIA payment requisition.
An AIA document carries a lot of weight in the courtroom.
You're right, it does. But this is a change order that's supplemental to a payment requisition that's
done
itemized.
An AIA document.
Correct, but the payment requisition is the primary that the change order is included into. Mm-hmm. It's the backup to the payment requisition. So you have the AIA payment rec signed and notarized by the contractor and the architect and engineer, and then you have the change orders that are supplemental to it. So these are done usually prior to a payment requisition. Payment requisitions are once the work has been done.
Which is a great point. And that's why we're here, because it's after the work is done. This $197,000.
You have 1 minute left.
Thank you. That's on that building that was built after we approved the Mobile Command Center. Is that the building for this Mobile Command Center?
I'm not sure when the Mobile Command Center was approved and when.
Maybe the major does.
Again, I don't know what day you approved, what council meeting you approved that, but that does house that vehicle.
Okay. So this building houses the Mobile Command Center.
Yes.
When that Mobile Command Center was completed originally, was that Mobile Command Center vehicle able to back into the building?
I believe so. I believe the issue came with, are you referring to like the bump out and the was to do with the fire code. So it needed to be a fireproof wall. As opposed to sprinklers. So we went with the fireproof wall because it was less expensive than sprinklers. I think that's what you're getting at there and why that needed to fit and why that bump out had to happen.
That bump out, that change order, is that part of having to enlarge that opening so that that vehicle could back into the building? The height, my understanding, was fine. That change order, the bump out, whatever is being called, was that to enlarge the opening to allow the vehicle to back into it?
No. The opening is fine. It was to partition the inside of the building for fire code.
Okay. Okay. We still have 47 seconds left, but I'll pass. I'll defer them. 8 seconds. You're right. I didn't see the five.
Yes.
Okay. I'm all set. Questions, Councilman Napa?
Thank you, Chairman. And Major, this is more so just to correct the record or put something on the record more or less than to ask you any questions. I do share the chairman's concern relative to both the architect and the contractor for not foreseeing some of these large expenditures. And I know this is not on the police department. Police department does police department work. We expect the architect and the contractor to foresee things like a massive paving project that should have been included. Now, what I would like to correct, and I'm not sure if you're willing to speak to this fact, but it seems as though some of the rhetoric here was that the Colonel and Commander Sullivan were signing these change orders knowingly exceeding the spending authority. My understanding from your position paper, your presentation, and what you've testified to is that they were unaware that they were exceeding spending authority when they were signing these documents, and knowing them personally both, I hold them in regard to know that they would not just exceed spending authority to thumb their nose at this council and at this body. Is that a correct understanding?
That is 100% correct. We were made aware of this exceeding spending authority by purchasing. So that they did not know.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you, Major.
Any questions from members of the council? We have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of, please? Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Robin Cardenas. We still have these situations happening over and over again with every project, it seems. Can there be or should there be consequences for the contractors and architects involved? Or should the department overseeing the projects have to come to you when it goes over budget? There has to be some more guardrails on all these projects that are happening. It's just overtaxing people. People are having to leave the city, losing their homes. I think something needs to be done, and I hope you can do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the public? Councilman Napper, I think you hit on something very important, and that is accountability. And when someone is signing for change orders and increasing tax spending dollars, someone needs to be in touch with the numbers and notifying or monitoring and letting someone know, in this case, the chief or the deputy chief, that sorry guys, but you've reached your spending authority. You cannot go any further without council approval. So that's part of the breakdown in how we got here. That's part of the culture that I'm speaking to, is these overviews of processes get us to these points where we're at this point of no return, and people feel guilty saying no, or afraid of a lawsuit. Well, then, you know what? Somebody needs to be held accountable. Someone needs to be held responsible. I am not going to be the one to hold the taxpayers accountable or responsible. I'm not doing it. So we have a PCR 77-26. I would strongly advise again that there is a process put in place for verifying spending of different things. I need a motion on PCR 77-26.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
No. And I'm voting no, not on the building, not on what needs to be done. I'm voting no on this because I object to the process, and I object to how we got here, and I object to if we don't pay it, we're gonna get sued. Well, that should have been thought of before we got here. So that's why I'm voting no. Thank you, Major. Sorry you had to be the one in the hot seat. Okay, next item, purchase rollout cots, lids, and wheels. Item number 4, found on page 70.
Eric Earls, Public Works. Sanitation Department is requiring the purchase of rollout carts used for refuse and recycling that are provided to all residential household. This request also includes replacement wheels and replacement lids for barrel sizes, 95-gallon gray carts, 65-gallon green and blue carts. Pricing has been secured from Rarig Pacific Company, as the city carts have been obtained through this company. It is not in the best interest of the city to bid this item, since we would have to stock new items, parts for other style carts. There's no fee for the city seal. Lead time for this order, if approved, is 8 to 10 weeks. The cost is $64,105.
Thank you, Director. So the quote to us is dated on April 30th, 2026. And on May 12th, the proposal was issued with a 30-day requirement. Is this quote still good?
Yes.
And you have confirmed that?
Yes.
Okay. Why didn't this come to us in June?
Because there wasn't money available.
At what, please?
This, we're paying for this out of this fiscal year. Money wasn't available in the last fiscal year budget for this purchase.
So you had none of the line items in your budget were under budget?
Not this item.
But those over, the monies that were left in your line items could have been moved over just before the budget for this year, right?
I don't know if, I don't know.
Okay. There has been a significant amount of new homes that have been built or are being built in the city of Warwick that will require barrels for refuge and recycling. And to support your request of $64,105, how many of these new buildings, new homes, are being built that are going to require or are approved for these bins?
I don't have that information.
Was that information determined prior to coming to us for $64,000?
No.
So how did we arrive at this number of $64,000?
This is what, if we could purchase more, then we would. This is what was allotted in the budget, so this is what we're purchasing. We go through these. The thing is, our program rolled out, I don't even know, 15, 20 years ago. The bins that are out there at the end of their useful life, we are constantly getting repairs or damages, replacements. One of the things that is kind of saving us is that when we initially rolled out the program, people received the two bins, right? And now people only need to use, well, right, but the recycling, I'm sorry. And now they only need to use one of those. So we have collected a lot of those that people no longer use and don't want to just keep in their backyard. So we've been recycling those. But we really are at a point where whenever we get bins, they're coming in and going out the door pretty much at the same rate. And the repairs are the same thing. We have a dedicated person going out and just making repairs to bins at people's houses.
Director, I know, and admittedly, I haven't looked at it in a couple of months now, but in going past the DPW building, off to the back, it looks like, I don't know, hundreds of bins back there of numerous colors. What are those bins? Are those new? Are they bins that have been, you know, repurposed for pots or what? What is the story?
A lot of the bins that are stacked back there that you see are the smaller ones, the 35-gallon. And they've been there for so long that they, first of all, there aren't a lot of people. Well, some people do request them, like elderly people, for example, that don't want to pull a big bin down, and so we have them. But not a lot of people want the 35s just because they have more trash than that. That's a lot of what's back there. And everything else that you see is kind of like Frankenstein. We are taking stuff in, taking parts off, and kind of using it that way.
So those bins that are there, the larger ones, are they there because they're just unusable, they got holes punched in them, or are they there because they have a missing lid or a broken wheel?
All of that, yeah. But most of them, if they're back there, it's more than just a lid or a wheel. It's damage to the body itself. Because, like I said, we'll put new wheels on, we'll put a new lid on, but if the body is damaged or something is eaten through the top of it or the side of it, those kinds of things, obviously, they're taken out. They still use, we use them in the yard for our refuse within public works because, you know, aesthetics don't matter, but they're not the kind of thing that we would ever hand out to a resident.
So there shouldn't be any bins back there now that we could just put a new cover on or a new wheel and move them out instead of buying brand new ones?
No.
Okay. How was the number for freight determined? That's another pet peeve that I have. I have it because we approve a freight number, and then lo and behold, at some point it comes back and, well, you know, the number was wrong, and we need X amount of dollars and cents more for freight to cover it because we already paid for it. How did that number of $5,550 for freight, how was that determined?
It's based on a full trailer load.
It's based on what?
A full trailer load. So that's how they determine their freight costs. So whether we ordered half as many bins, we were still going to pay that same freight because they're charging us for a full trailer load. So we buy as much as we can fit on that trailer to get the most out of that freight cost.
Is that something that someone in your department has tried to negotiate with them? That
yes.
If we only have a truckload, we're going to get whacked $5,500?
There's not going to be any additional freight charges. This is the cost.
You mean there's not going to be any initial freight charges?
Well, you had indicated that you worried about some kind of change.
Yeah, it says estimated freight rate, $5,550.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Period.
Period.
Not coming back to us in 2 months saying, $100.
No.
Okay. Duly noted. Okay. I do not have any other questions on that item. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Councilman DeLuise, please.
Yeah, I don't have any questions, but I'd just like to thank the Department of Sanitation for going out on July 3rd, which was Friday, who we made a call to. And it's a funny story. I happened to be at my friend's house, and the garbage truck had gone by and just dumped his trash, and the lid was broken off. Tried to fix it many times. So I made a phone call to the proper authorities, and his trash bin was fixed that afternoon. So
yeah,
that was
you.
I've had two other ones that they also replaced lids and repaired the bin. So
yeah, credit to our sanitation division supervisor, Jay Bastine, who's here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Do we have any questions or comments from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you, Director. Moving on to item number 5, 2027-075, found on page 73, Land Evidence Software. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Sorry? Okay, true. So is there anyone present?
It's me.
Okay, Madam Clerk. You're so quiet back there. Thank you. Go to it.
It's the land evidence software.
Okay. Talk to us.
What do you want to know?
Whatever you need us to know.
Your contract, it's late coming to you, of course. Looking to do a one-year contract.
And it's for all the land recordings.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, with that said, are there any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, the last three items are under the $50,000. Do we have anyone on the committee would like anything held up? None. Any members of the council want an item held out? None. Anything from members of the public? Any members of the public would like to have any of these three items held out? None. Okay. So, let's see, what else do we have? Okay, so with that said, I need a motion on those items that we didn't hold up.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. That concludes the City Council Finance Committee at 6:16. Thank you, everyone.
Would the Public Properties Committee please convene?
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:19 p.m. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes. Let's, unless there is any objection, I'll just have a single vote on. Is someone talking? Okay. Yeah, we just have to be quiet here while the meeting is ongoing because the acoustics in this room are terrible. Okay, so if there's no objection, that is, if everyone here on this committee was present for each of these four meetings, I know I was, then we can hold the vote for each of these four meetings, acceptance of the minutes, in one vote. Was anyone absent on any of those? Hearing none, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meetings held on April 27, May 11, June 1, and June 15 of 2026. Do we have a motion to accept minutes for those four meetings?
So moved.
All right. Councilman Foley makes the motion. Councilman Kirby seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, then we have two items on the agenda. Now, before I get started, just a housekeeping note here. What we'll do with the public hearings, as we always do as a committee, or at least have done for quite a while as a committee, is pass these for consideration of the City Council as a whole, more efficient for discussion purposes, and save some time and trouble for the stenographer as well. First up, we have PCO 23-2026, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick. City of Warwick is the applicant. This is 771 Post Road, Assessor's Plat 288, Lot 59, and this is listed as being docketed by the Council President on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. This is also the petition that relates to the property commonly known as Aldridge Junior High in Ward 2. Council President, shall we move to have this held by the full City Council? Thank you. Thank you. I'll make a motion for this item to be moved to the floor without recommendation of this committee for purpose of public hearing.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Second, we have PCO 24-26, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick. MJV Enterprises, LLC is the applicant. Address 2281 and 2279 West Shore Road, Assessor's Plat 350, Lots 84 and 661. This is Councilman Muto. I take it you would want this similarly moved to the floor for public hearing. That's the recommendation by the sponsor, whose ward this is in. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Councilman Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman DeLuise. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That concludes the business of this committee at 6:23 p.m.
Would the Intergovernmental Committee please convene?
Okay, so Councilman Gebhardt unfortunately could not be with us tonight. It is 6:24 and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. First First order of business is acceptance of committee minutes held on March 9th, 2026, April 27th, 2026, May 11th, 2026, June 1, 2026, June 15, 2026, and that's it. I was absent due to family illness on June 15th. So relative to approval of minutes on March 9th, April 27th, May 11th, and June 1st of 2026, do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve. Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 3-0. If Council Muto, if you can take over on the June 15th, I have to recuse.
May I have a motion for approval of the minutes for June 15th, 2026?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Recuse. Okay, moving past that. We have one appointment today. Attorney Gerstenblatt has been waiting patiently, so I appreciate that. It is for Attorney Joel Gerstenblatt, reappointment to the Board of Canvassers. Councilman Gebhardt is not here today, and I would just like to say that having worked with Attorney Gerstenblatt on a personal and professional level, he is extremely diligent, very well qualified for this position, has been doing it for some time, and I know that he brings the same diligence and dedication to the Board of Canvassers as he does in his professional life. So, Attorney Gerstenblatt, if you'd have anything you'd like to say.
I would just like to thank the committee and the council for their consideration. Excuse me. I have been a resident of Warwick since age 12, seventh grade. I just mentioned my alma mater, Aldrich Junior High School mentioned. I graduated Pilgrim High School. I graduated the University of Rhode Island. I graduated Hofstra University School of Law. I've been an attorney for almost 48 years. I've had my office in Jefferson Boulevard from 2006 to 2021, previously being in downtown Providence. I'm registered unaffiliated. I am semi-retired, mostly from my litigation practice, which was my concentration. I serve as an arbitrator and a mediator for the Superior Court, guardian ad litem for the Superior Court, and some general practice, probate practice as well. I was also chief judge or judge of the municipal court from 1994 to 2018, almost 24, 25 years. And it would be my pleasure to serve the city once again.
Thank you. I would urge my colleagues to vote in support of this once we get to the point of a motion. But any questions or comments from the members of the committee? Council Muto.
Thank you, Chair. More of a comment. Again, thank you for all your service, many decades worth, and look forward for your continued service on the Board of Elections.
Thank you.
Councilman Riggs.
Thank you. I wanted to similarly thank you for your many years of service to the city, and thank you in advance for hopefully many more with the Board of Canvassers.
Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Your Honor.
Good evening, Councilman. Nice to see you again.
To me, it'll always be Your Honor. So I had the pleasure of meeting Judge Gerstenblatt when I first got elected in 2012, when he was the municipal court judge. And that meeting was precipitated because of various problems that I was having in the ward with minimum housing violations, enforcements, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the major issues was a property located at 1007 Warwick Neck Avenue. I'm sure Your Honor remembers that. That was a property that was in despicable condition, a danger, a hazard, a negative impact on tax revenue around the remaining properties. It had been sitting there for in excess of 10 years, and no actions were being done or taken. Now, this goes back to 2013, I think, when we first started addressing this. I met with the judge, and he helped me to sponsor legislation, which I believe that was the receivership legislation, as a result of that meeting, that got us to be able to tear down that house. And to the extreme pleasure of all of my constituents. And that was just one of many issues and items that Judge Gerstenblatt was responsible for in helping us with some of these issues. So I certainly congratulate you on your appointment to the Board of Canvassers, and look forward to working with you in a different capacity. But thank you for everything that you did to help me and the citizens of Warwick throughout your tenure. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from members of the public? Questions or comments, members of the public? Mr. Langseth.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. I'd like to remind the committee that you should approve the minutes for this appointment next meeting. I've noticed that all the committees have been not approving their minutes. And if the minutes are not approved at the next meeting, then it could, a challenge could come up. I mean, it's vitally important that the committees all approve the minutes at the next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Langseth. Any further question or comment from members of the public? Seeing none, do you have a motion?
Motion, favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Craig.
Thank you.
Time is now 8:31, and we stand adjourned with no further business. Strike that, 6:31.
Would the Ordinance Committee please convene?
Okay, the time is now 6:33. Ordinance Committee is now in session. We have minutes to approve. First order of business is approval of minutes from March 9th, March 23rd, April 6th, April 27th, May 11th, and June 1 of 2026.
Move to approve.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
3-0. Approved across the board. Second order of business is PCO 22-25, an ordinance prohibiting camping on public properties that was docketed by me. I would like to request to hold this until the meeting on November 23rd to allow for some amendments and further conversations to take place. There is quite a bit of work left to do on this proposed ordinance.
Move to hold November 23.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
3-0. So held. And second order of business, PCO 8-26, an ordinance establishing real estate non-utilization tax, docketed by Council President Sinapi. I believe the intention here is to also request a hold for some updates to the proposed ordinance, and the request would be to hold until August 17th. Is that correct?
Yes, please, in order to allow it to be adapted to commercial only.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Move to hold August 17.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 3-0. Motion passes. No business standing before us any further. We are adjourned at 6:34. Chairman Lattiser, that's how you run committee. Quick and efficient.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said, but I heard ouch from Councilman Muto.
Would the City Council please prepare to convene? Thank you.